It wasn't long ago that Western countries looked at Turkey's economic growth, its move away from decades of dominance by the military, and its expansive geopolitical perspective as pointing the way for other Muslim countries. The Turkish model was where it was hoped other countries of the Middle East would point their governance. Well, something happened along the way. The recent ban on Twitter, charges of widespread corruption within the ruling AKP party, and the government's apparent disregard for the rule of law has diminished Turkey's luster in the West. How serious are these developments for Turkey's future prosperity and leadership? Michael Wurz, my guest today, is a keen observer of Turkey's trajectory. He is a senior fellow with the Center for American Progress and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. My conversation with Dr. Wurz. Mr. Wurz, the Prime Minister of Turkey, has taken the lead in banning Twitter. At the same time, the President of Turkey is still Twittering, and other ministers are Twittering. So what is this all about?
That is correct. It is a very confusing situation in Turkey right now, and the fact that Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan has censored Twitter is just the last step in a series of the really disturbing initiatives that he has taken over the course of the last 2 years in trying to crack down on dissenting opinion and critical journalists. At the same time, the Prime Minister is intelligent enough to know that these days it is really hard to censor social media platforms. So this is as much an attempt to crack down on critical opinion a few weeks before a critical municipal election as it is an instrument for him to rally his conservative, mostly rural-based people that do not really get information from social media outlets, but are mainly depending upon state-owned media that are very much in the hand of the Prime Minister.
The Foreign Policy's Great Decision series, there are hundreds of people that are going to be listening to this conversation, and they've got to be wondering, Turkey is a strong United States ally. And here we have the President and the Prime Minister on opposite sides of the fence on this very important issue. How does that translate to the governance of Turkey, you think?
This is a complicated issue for Turkey. Now, many Turks that are more concerned with democratic rights and freedom of expression, not only in the progressive and liberal segments of Turkish society, but also within the governing party, the AKP, are very disappointed at the fact that President Gül has not really taken stronger steps early on. He has, over the course of the last year, made comments that were interpreted as being critical vis-a-vis the prime minister's increasingly authoritarian style of government,
right.
But this is really the first time that President Gül has shown that there is actually some daylight between him and his friend of 30 years, Tayyip Erdogan, the prime minister.
And what does that mean, you think, for Turkey's future governance?
That is an open question, because we are, within the next 15 months, seeing three major elections in Turkey, starting with the municipal elections on March 30th, which will be an important barometer in terms of deciding and better understanding where we stand right now. Then presidential elections are scheduled for August of this year and the national election for the parliament later in 2015.
Right.
If indeed there is a disagreement, which would be the first open disagreement between President Gül and Prime Minister Erdogan, who are both founding members of the AKP and its predecessor party and have a giant political history that dates back three decades.
Right.
If indeed there is a disagreement for the first time, that could really change the dynamic of the political developments over the course of the next half year until the presidential election.
Do you think that this disagreement between the two might point to a change away from AKP?
That is not very likely, because given the outrageous and really irresponsible acts of the prime minister and the fact that he has really put his party, a party that won the election 2002 and then two subsequent national elections, under the banner of greater pluralism, greater transparency, and less corruption,
right.
He has really converted this party in a tribal structure that is mired in corruption and has really become one of the major suppressants of free opinion in Turkey, is really astounding in itself. But it is even more astonishing that in such a large and strong party, there has been minimal dissent been voiced so far. Prime Minister Erdogan still entirely controls the parliamentary section of the AKP, and until recently President Gül's expressions of concern were more symbolic than real.
So until 18 months ago or so, everyone was looking at Turkey and saying this is probably the model for Muslim countries as they move into the Arab Spring or the Muslim Renaissance or whatever, that Turkey would serve as a model country, a model Muslim democracy. And now we're all wondering whether that's the case. Where are you on that?
I think there are two arguments to be made. One, the notion that Turkey was a model Islamic democracy was overstated in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Not because Turkey wasn't able to show for great democratic achievements and the tremendous step forward in terms of economic modernization. But at the same time, if you look at religious practices in Turkey, to qualify the country as an Islamic country, as a primarily religiously driven political body politic, is really an analytical fallacy. You would not try to characterize Italy as a predominantly Catholic country, or you would not try to understand British policy within the context of political Protestantism.
Yes.
I think that argument was flawed and displaying a rather disturbing culturalizing view of Turkish politics. At the same time, of course, Turkey was a bridge and still is a bridge between continental Europe and the Near East, a country that has a very complicated neighborhood. I always say if Greece is your most stable, your most reasonable, and your most democratic neighbor, then you know you're in a different and a very difficult part of the world. But the way in which Turkish democracy has been undermined, the way in which the rule of law has been destroyed from within by the prime minister and his cronies, has really taken Turkey back quite a few steps. So I think Turkish society is in probably the biggest crisis since the 1980s. And the outcome is also fairly unclear, because what one needs to understand, the massive corruption that Turkey is living right now is not an, let's say, for the sake of a better description, African-style corruption where people just fill their private pockets. It is a structural kind of corruption where money is being stolen and also used and reinvested into right. political and party structures.
Right.
So for Erdogan and the broader group of his supporters, there is so much at stake right now that they can't really afford to lose the election. And that is creating a very, very tense and very difficult situation.
How does all this echo in the European Union? Do you think that this helps Turkey's cause?
No. It is absolutely clear that no one in the European Union right now, under these conditions, is prepared to talk about Turkey's EU accession. To be fair, one has to admit that the European Union has been playing games with Turkey over the past 5 or 6 years, because the parameters and the yardsticks of EU membership have been changed quite frequently, and the European Union, by letting Cyprus become a member, has also now created a situation where very small countries with about 1.5 million people can block accession talks and the opening of EU accession chapters
yes.
in the discussion with Turkey, which is an unfortunate political situation. But under the current circumstances, the AKP, which was also the party in the early 2000s that said we are the pro-European party that will lead Turkey into this Western economic and political line, is not in a situation where anyone in Europe would have serious conversations, because all major indicators in Turkey, be it economic, in terms of political freedom, freedom of expression, judiciary, independence of the legal sector of society, all of these indicators are right now pointing into the wrong direction.
You've been listening to a conversation with Mr. Michael Wurz on behalf of the Foreign Policy Association. This is Sarwar Kashmiri. Thank you for listening.